Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi there, welcome to Clan Chat Online. Bit of a throwback week this week. We're showing a 2010 game from the very first season that the Brayhead Clan, as it was, against Newcastle Vipers. We've got a player from season one, and I've adopted the 2010 look as well. You may notice I've taken the beard off, but that's largely down to my daughter. Thanks for joining us this week. And as you can see, Brendan Cook is our special guest this week. Brendan, how are you getting on these days?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, Craig.
Excellent. And Matt Haywood, have you had that haircut yet, now that we can all go and do such a thing?
Nope. I think I found a new barber in Jenny. So
there you go.
I save myself £6 every 2 months. So
good. I'll save you some money. Excellent. Well, before we get into the normal run of things, we just want to send our condolences to Gareth Chalmers, our chief operating officer, whose mother sadly passed away at the weekend. Gareth is obviously taking some time out, as you can imagine, but he's had a lot of messages from fans and everybody out there, which I'm sure he truly appreciates, and from us as well. Our deepest condolences to Gareth in such a difficult time. Also, big news this week from the Clan point of view, the retirement of our all-time top point scorer, Scott Pitt. He's decided to hang him up after quite a long career and two spells at the Clan as well. Matt, we'll just get a word from you about Pitty and the contribution he made to the team. First of all, how sad are you that a guy you know so well has finally decided to call it a day?
Yeah, obviously very sad. Me and Jenny have known for a while he was going to retire, but obviously seeing that the other day made it official, and it's a sad time to be a Clan player, anyone associated with a Clan. So not only is he probably the best player that's ever played for the club, he's probably one of the best people I've ever met too. So, and I'm not normally nice about him, so good job you've got this on record. Him and Lauren are very close family friends with me and Jenny, and obviously the kids now. And they're going to be sorely missed, not just Scott on the ice, but Scott and his family off the ice. Going to be hugely missed.
I want to ask you about the tweet you put out, and I think it sums it up nicely about seeing his face up on the wall again. You're obviously keen to, you're campaigning for him to get a banner up there as well. I mean, that just shows you just how much he means to you as a teammate.
Yeah, I don't think it's any secret how good of a friendship we had. And obviously, he is the Clan all-time leader, and I think it's all three categories, is it? Is it goals, assists, and points? So yeah. Definitely, if he's not on the wall, he should be in the rafters with his name, with his number retired. But I don't want to push anyone too far.
Well, your voice carries some weight, so let's see if anybody's listening. Right, let's get to the business at hand, of course. Our special guest this week is Brendan Cook, the first ever Clan captain, as it was back in the 2010-11 season. Brendan Cook is with us. Brendan, fantastic to have you on the show this week. 10 years almost have passed since you were at the club. Can you believe it's been that long?
No, I can't. That time goes by fast. I think I said that when Maddie was getting ready for his testimonial, that you look back and it doesn't feel like it's been that long. I got some pretty vivid and fond memories of that that time. It's a fun year being able to be, part of something at the ground level like that. And it's wild to think that it was 10 years ago.
You mentioned Matt's testimonial. It's actually on my list here. You were kind enough. You're one of the guys kind enough to send over a video, which we all put together for Matt's testimonial. You looked as though you were driving. Is that not a bit dangerous?
Well, I was. I spend a lot of time in the car these days. I work in the medical device industry, and so I'm bouncing around from hospital to hospital. With one of the responsibilities of my job, I guess you could say. So it's one of the few times in the day that I have a chance to connect, or I shouldn't say a few times, but it's the most common time that I use to make calls and connect with people. So
now, as I mentioned, you were the club's first captain in that first season, 2010-11. Matt, let me ask you, what was it like playing under Brendan's captaincy?
I think I was a little bit too young to know how good of a captain he actually was. I was too much of a deer in headlights, you know, like I just came up and it was my first real professional club, and just seeing Bruce always told me, like, watch Cookie, watch how he does things, and that's a testament to how professional he is on and off the ice. I think it's something that stuck with me for 10 years, is how focused and how professional he was, and he wasn't happy. I remember a couple of games he got like one assist and he wasn't happy that he didn't contribute more for the team. And that really stuck with me, and it's really resonated with me that he was such a team first kind of guy, and it showed with his play.
Now, Matt, you've played with a few captains obviously through your career with the Clan. Is there anything of Brendan's sort of style that you took into your own captaincy?
Yeah, I think I'm kind of similar to Cookie. I feel like he's one of those guys that would be like, oh, don't really ask for much, he just does it himself, sort of thing. Like he takes it upon himself to, I don't know, probably more so in a lot more so in Cookie's thing, but he'd take it he would take it among himself to go and score that goal, or he would take himself, whereas me, it might be block a shot, or, do you know what I mean? Like he wouldn't wait for somebody else to do something on the ice, and he would do it all himself.
Now, Cookie, as I say, it was your second stint in the Elite League. You played for Nottingham Panthers a couple of years before. What lured you back to the UK? Did Bruce have a heavy influence on that and getting you back here?
Yeah, he did. I mean, and Bruce is another guy. I mean, I learned a lot from Bruce even the 2 years prior. His leadership style, and a lot of that was, leading by example. Actions speak louder than words. Those kind of things were pretty big in the way that Bruce operated. So, yeah, I mean, the reality is that, we went back to North America after the year in Nottingham. We were getting ready to start a family, and my son Jackson was born. We just felt like at that time we were pretty young, but I think I was 26 when we went back. That it made sense to have our first child at home, where we were a little bit closer to family. We could have some grandma, nana, come and help, that sort of thing, so or be able to be around it. So we felt like it was important to be in North America, and I had a great experience, that year prior to coming back. But we waffled on some ideas whether or not I was going to try to start to get into coaching early or not. And as it would have, we won a championship that year, and I knew that I wanted to continue to play and decided I wanted to play long term. And to do that with a family, it made more sense for us to be in Europe, where even though we were going to be further away from family, we were going to play a schedule that was less games. I was going to, have more time at home with my own family, as opposed to, in North America, sometimes you take off for a road trip where you're gone for 7 days or 8 days or something like that, where you're playing four or five teams. Obviously, that doesn't happen, just the way that the European schedule is. So it made more sense. And when I was looking at opportunities, one of them that came up was, it took me a little bit to get to that idea. So some things had closed, if you will. There wasn't a ton of jobs at the time that I was ready to make that decision. But Bruce offered me an opportunity, and his, him being the one, making the decisions, pulling the trigger, definitely held a lot of weight, and was a big draw in luring me back overseas and back to the British League and ultimately to Glasgow.
When I think back on that first season, I kind of came to it quite late, so I would probably say Bruce is the coach that I know less compared to the guys that followed him. What was Bruce like in the locker room? He seemed to me quite an intense guy. What sort of memories do you have? And try and keep it clean if you can.
Yeah, that's not hard actually. Like Bruce's the biggest thing that stands out, and you know, he's got a ton of experience, and he's a great storyteller too. Like he would share a lot of his journeyman experiences with the boys and with myself, and he was a guy that, you know, he was fun to be around. Like he always had a ton of energy and stuff like that. But when it came to, you know, the way that he did things, like the number one thing, and you know, I think Matt would probably attest to this too, but the guy is so passionate. And so anything, you know, whether it was, you know, we were talking X's and O's and systems or the culture around our team, like, you know, he'd almost be spitting on you. He was so excited to share his message and so, you know, and when he played that way too. I mean, he was not a big man, but a guy that played like he was, and he always had a chip on his shoulder, and he was just full of passion and energy. So it was pretty easy to follow the lead of a guy like that. And, you know, it made a big difference in the success that we had that first year.
Matt, you were laughing there when Cookie was referring to the kind of spitting. Obviously, has some memory come to mind there?
Just if he put his teeth in or not, that was one time. No, just to reiterate what Cookie was saying, he was the ultimate team guy, and he was intense. Just so, if you watched him on the ice, that's, and you have an idea of how he would be as a person, that's how he would be as a person. But he wasn't a bad guy. He was such a nice guy, and he was such family orientated. But his main thing for me was hard work. He was always hard work. He's like, that season we probably didn't have the most talented team, I don't think, but we definitely outworked 80% of our teams in that league. So that's why we had such good success in our first season.
Well, you finished fifth that year. Yeah, so a very creditable finish for a team in its first year. But what was it like coming to a new franchise, Brendan? You played at a few clubs before you came to Glasgow at that point. So how was that experience compared to what you'd experienced before?
You know what, it was, you know, I'm thankful for the opportunity because it was definitely a unique experience. You know, we looked at it like, you know, being part of an expansion team, being part of, you know, like, as long as, you know, that club exists forever, like there's only one group that got to do it that very first year. And so it was a lot of fun. I mean, we didn't have the most skilled team. We didn't have the best team, but we wanted to be the hardest working team. And one of our goals before the season started, we thought, you know what, if we can be a top half team, if we can be top half of the table, that would be a pretty big accomplishment for a first year club. You know, with, you know, in those days, you know, you the big clubs, Nottingham, Sheffield, Cardiff, Belfast, you know, we enjoyed victories over, I think, every one of those teams except damn Sheffield at that time. So I think we beat all those other clubs at some point during the year there, and to finish top half the table, I think that was a big accomplishment for us. So it was, you know, looking back, it was a ton of fun to be in that situation. I think we surprised a lot of teams, and I think that we laid the groundwork for, you know, a lot of what was to come afterward.
I think actually the result that reiterates what Cookie was saying there. I know we won the first couple of games, like Dundee and we beat
Newcastle.
Spoiler alert, we beat Newcastle at home. but the game that really stuck out to me was we went down to Sheffield. Oh, we beat Nottingham away, but early, because that meant so much to Bruce. And I think he was crying in the room afterwards. I think he cried. But we went to Sheffield, I think it was a month in or something, and I think we beat them 4-0, I think, at home, and they haven't been shut out at home for 10 years or something like that. And for a team that's been around together for 6 weeks to do something like that, I remember I stayed down after that game, and I went across to my brother was playing across at Ice Sheffield, and I went over and someone asked me what the score was, and I said 4-0 and to us, and nobody believed me. I'm like, well, check it.
I mean, I think it's probably fair to remind us of some of the characters from that first season team. I was looking at the Newcastle game that Clan Classics are doing on Saturday, and one or two of the names that threw up were just like, you know, I kind of forgot about them, which I hope it doesn't sound too bad. But from your point of view, remind us of the characters that were in the locker room with you at that time.
we had a good group of guys, and I think that was part of the reason why, like, you know, that we kind of, you know, in some aspects probably outpunched our weight a little bit with the guys that we had. But you know, when I think back, and Bruce did a good job with his recruiting and building that team, and so really, like, every single guy contributed in some way. Every single guy, if you went around the room, was a quality person. But you know, the guys that stuck out for me, John Landry and Cody Bostock on the back, were a big part of our success. And I think that you know, in John's case, he you know, he possesses a lot of unique skills too, and I think a lot of people, you know, if they're thinking about some of the stuff, they'll remember that big hit he threw against Cardiff. I think it was might have been Scotty Matzka, actually, that he was able to kind of surprise in the middle of the ice. But great power play defenseman, and just a great guy. Cody Bostock's another guy that I knew just come from, you know, from coming over. Cody and I never played together in college, but you know, it kind of felt like we did. He was at Bemidji after I was, so I was familiar with him before he went over. But, you know, I think he surprised a lot of people. I don't think people really knew what they were going to get out of him, or what they were going to see with him in the elite league. But solid defensive guy, and also, you know, a good guy to be around in the room as well. You go down the list, I mean, Soupy Campbell had a good year, and you know, I remember playing, we had good chemistry with him, and Adam Walker, and Kyle Bruce was a guy that I think that, you know, was kind of cut from the same cloth as Bruce a little bit, with playing with a, you know, being a team guy and playing with a ton of passion, and you know, getting the crowd going with a few fights here and there too. So, you know, those guys to name a few. But again, I give Bruce a lot of credit, because top to bottom, the recruiting from that that team, he did a great job of just starting with good people and going from there.
Now, Mark, we've often spoke about when you started out in this team, these big characters that were in the room. Can you recall what it was like with these giant characters that were in there?
Yeah, I think I said earlier on, I was a bit of a deer in headlights. Like, I obviously, knowing I've seen people play in the league before, like Cookie and Carl Bruce and JF, things like that. So I kind of heard of a lot of guys. So it was more of excitement, really, and trying not to be too nervous, and trying to show them that I was actually good enough to be there. I think one guy that Cookie forgot to mention that does stand out is Tim Wedderburn. I think he was he really showed up that D we had. I think he allowed Lands to be such an offensive guy, and I think he definitely is one of the most underrated D-men in this league has ever had. Yeah, he was so good. And I remember scoring that goal. Did he score an overtime winner somewhere? Something went like coast to coast and scored an overtime winner, and nobody could quite believe what had just happened.
he was usually too busy taking care of our own end. But
yes, he was the second goalie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember, actually, we had quite a few French Canadians that year, which I think when we signed, I was obviously skating in Sheffield and stuff. They all kind of warned me, if there's too many of them in one place, they like to speak French, and they kind of distance themselves from the group and stuff. But I found we never had that. Like, I think Bruce was pretty adamant that they would speak English in the room, but I don't think they even would, because they all spoke really good English, didn't they? Jeff, JFP, and
yeah, except for Bruce.
Except for Bruce, probably the first one. Actually, that's another French we had, was Mio, was Wauquiez.
Yeah,
he was probably the biggest character we had.
And,
that year.
And Cedric Bernier, too.
Yeah, that's right. And then we got Jordan in halfway through the year.
That's right.
It's a long time ago, this, Craig. I should have done some research.
Yeah, exactly.
I think you're managing really well. Good for you. But I mean, quite a team. As I say, I sort of come into it later on in that first season, so I'm obviously familiar with a lot of you guys. And the fact, when you look back on that team, it was a new team, and there was excitement from the fans, because we had a lot of fans from Ayrshire, and because of the folding of Ayr Eagles some 8 years before. Did you sense the anticipation, the excitement among the fans as you built up to that first home game? You had, I think, four games on the road before that, but did you get the feeling that there was a real buzz about that first home game when it came?
I think so. I mean, that's one of the fun things, you know, that league, the supporters that, at least the ones that I've been around, they were dying for, to get a team back and, to be able to, some of the PR stuff that we did prior and being able to connect with some fans at the arena and stuff before being able to play that first game. I think that we definitely sensed the anticipation, the excitement, the fact that they, they were looking forward to getting something that they could hold on to, that they felt was going to be stable, something that was going to be there. But, I think that there's a big, my experience in Great Britain is, the teams just want to be associated, or supporters just want to be associated with a club that works hard, that they can be proud of. And that was definitely something that came through to me, was that, they were going to be behind us as long as they felt like we were truly, given 100%, working our butts off. And so that was fun. I mean, that was, I liked that, being on the receiving end, a kind of feeling that's how they felt. And for us, it made it easy. Like, we kind of knew where we were at in terms of being a first year club, but we felt like we'd have the support of our fans as long as we were working hard. So that kind of anticipation and excitement before that first game was a lot of fun.
Before I get to the first game, I just want to again go back to your time with the Panthers. There's a couple of players on that list who were later familiar with Clan fans. Kevin Bergen and Jade Galbraith, characters indeed, I'm sure you'll agree, Matt, having played alongside them. What was it like playing with them at the Panthers? I'm sure you've got a couple of stories about Jade.
Well, yeah, I don't know if I could share them. no, but
I think Boogie would be the biggest surprise. I think he calmed down a bit when he came up here, so people wouldn't know the real Kevin Bergen, but I think everyone knows what you get with Jade.
Yeah, and both those guys were characters and were a lot of fun. And in Nottingham, like we probably fell short of what we should have accomplished that year that I was there with the team that we had. And we had a group of 9 forwards, I think, that were pretty talented, that could score. And they were a lot of fun to be with on the ice. And Kevin, a lot of the way he is much in line with Bruce. Like he's just a hardworking guy. As a power forward type, had the ability to score 20 goals in a season. He was a good player in his own right. And, a character too. I mean, that guy, he was in Nottingham, he had a flat that was right downtown. So if we did have a green light, it wouldn't be uncommon for us to see what his place was looking like pretty early morning hours. But for Jade, I mean, I was fortunate. I got to play in a line with Jade in Nottingham. And I didn't know much about it prior, but just oozing skill, that guy. He's so clever with the puck and really good vision. And, I benefited quite a bit, being more of a shooter, just trying to find spots to get open to see if Jade could give me the puck, and he usually did. So, it was a lot of fun playing with both those guys. Both of them, I would say, are characters that you remember when you look back, and both of them were very talented players.
Right, I've got to ask you, Cookie, that there's something that keeps walking backwards and forwards behind you. Where are you?
Well, so here, yeah, I mentioned I'm in Chicago. I'm in a hotel in Chicago. I got a 10-year-old son, Jackson, that he made Team Minnesota. And the Brick Invitational is a pretty big tournament in Canada for 10-year-olds. In Edmonton, it's usually in July. And unfortunately, with all the stuff going on in the world, it was canceled. But his team is still participating in a couple of warm-up tournaments. And we're hopeful that the Brick, that they'll do two tournaments next year in the summer that for 10-year-olds and 11-year-olds. But anyway, I'm in Chicago for this tournament. We got in pretty late last night, and kids and my wife are still sleeping. So I'm down in the business center and next to the lobby here. And so there's, I don't know who's walking by either, but it'll probably happen a few more times.
I thought you had a maid.
Life's been good to him. Yeah. So right, let's take it to that first home game, 1st of October 2010, a Friday night. That I think it was the night a lot of fans were looking forward to, and I know that from my wife, Suzanne, who's been a regular since that very first season as well. Tell us about that first night, Matt. We'll start with you, young guy. You know, this is a reasonably big crowd. You can say it was 1,600, I think, packed into Brayhead Arena that night. As a young kid coming in, what was that like for you?
Oh, well, I remember when I first signed, and I had to Google the arena just to see what the rink looked like. And I remember it saying it was like 3,500 or whatever. And look, you could do like you move your mouse and it goes all the way around. Yeah. So I was thinking that could be like such a big potential to have such a good crowd, and imagine how great it would be to play. It's pretty much the perfect size for this league, I feel. And I remember getting there and standing in the middle with a couple of the guys, thinking this could be pretty cool if this place gets going, because obviously we hear about Glasgow and Scottish people and how crazy and loud they can be, especially at sporting events and stuff. So yeah, I think that first couple of games we had helped. I think we won 3 out of 4 or something, and we were looking forward to seeing how many fans we were going to get. We weren't sure. We were kind of guessing. And some guys were saying we were getting a couple of hundred. Some guys were saying we were selling out. Some guys were thinking. So when we came out to like being half full, I'm pretty sure the lower bowl, the whole lower bowl was pretty much full. And obviously we shot the wrong way that game. That was the only game we shot the other way.
Yeah, that's weird. See, watching that back, that was really strange seeing you going from left to right. And when you look on the bench, you've got Frank Morris on what's the left when you look down from our angle. That was just weird.
Yeah, well, we thought that with the big gap at the back that you'd get more atmosphere from the two wings at the wall end. And then obviously we found out halfway through that game that it's probably best to go the other way.
Well, what I remember, because that game was close, right? Like it was
penalty shots.
We went into penalty shots, and so yep. as the clock was winding down, I don't know, Matt, if you remember this, but that was, I went to Bruce after the game, and like, we got to switch, we got to go the other way, because you know, otherwise you don't have a good visual of where the clock was at that time anyway. That as the seconds are ticking off, so I think we changed after that game and started going the other way after that game.
And of course, the fans all got on board with it. As I said, having watched the game back, it was a very close game as well. Newcastle, I think, despite their later troubles, as we found out, decent team, I think, on the night. Do you recall that as well?
I remember that. I remember them having a really good team. They had quite a few Finnish guys, and I think Danny Stewart and that was there as well.
Yeah, Danny went. Yeah,
and a young Sam Zajac was there as well.
Never heard. I remember.
You are a small guy. Yeah, but yeah, they had that big Finnish guy who was really good. I can't remember, obviously can't remember his name, but I think Kev fought in that year.
Yeah.
Did he not get away? Obviously played away in Whitley Bay, which is an experience that Cookie obviously remembers.
Yeah, that's an experience in itself. But no, they were hard to play. They were hard to play against. They They worked, and it was a good test for us early on. I remember too in that game, like, and I don't know if it's just because we had, you know, pretty good attendance and stuff, but like, the ice was soft and it was slow and it felt terrible, like, you know, it would feel like we were playing like outdoor in the summer, you know, it was hot in there, and we probably didn't play our best game, but you know, we wanted to make sure we came out with a victory for our fans. I know we were, you know, felt like I was pulling a piano behind me. Like, it just felt like the game was just kind of slow. But, you know, we definitely worked to try to make sure that we came out on the right end of that. And the atmosphere was awesome.
Now, if people think we plan this, we don't. But looking at that game in particular, Cookie, you get the game-winning goal, the penalty shot that won it in the end. What do you remember about that? Spoiler alert, by the way.
Yeah, well, if I was smart, I wouldn't remind people that I missed the first one, and so went in, and again the ice was a little bit poor, and the puck rolled on me, and so then it went to sudden death, and was fortunate to so the first one because it rolled on me, and a lot of times I'll deke to my forehand, and so I wasn't going to do that again, so I just went down and tried to rip one low blocker, and fortunately it snuck in, and then you know, to be able to have that feeling and seal a victory for our fans, that was a cool moment for me.
I remember actually that obviously you probably took the first one of the first three.
Yeah.
I don't know who took the second, but I remember Bruce turning to Walks and saying, be the hometown hero kid or something like that. And he went down and he missed. He hit the crossbar. Back it, as he was going, I was like, he's from Fife, mate. He's from Fife.
That's funny.
And of course, the thing I remember about the first season was the post game, and I think there was a lot of sort of player fan interaction, specifically at the Snow Bar. What's your memories of going to the Snow Bar, which is now obviously called Barvaria, when they rebranded it? Cookie, what do you remember of going there after a game?
You know, and that sticks out to me largely with my whole experience over there, is that like the fans really love to be able to connect with you after games, and they love guys that would share a pint with them after and tell a couple stories or just share how their thoughts on the game, and to have that obviously you can put a face to a name, but just to be able to identify a little bit more with the players that that they were cheering so hard for. And so to be able to go to the Snow Bar after and you know, have a Guinness with a couple fans and chat and learn about, you know, where they're from and how long they've been supporters of either the club or the Eagles or the sport itself. I thought it was huge. I think it's a big part of the culture of that league too, just the, you know, how passionate the supporters are, and you know, they do really appreciate being able to see some faces after the game, and I thought that was great.
You also remember the big bowls of chicken wings they used to put on for us, don't we?
I forgot, actually, but yeah.
So you had that year in Glasgow. You moved on in the end. Was there an opportunity for you to return for a second season, or had you already decided that it was time to move on?
I had big eyes, and I really appreciated the opportunity, but I wanted to try continental Europe and, just kind of see how far I could go. And so, I had good experiences along the way and ultimately kind of settled in Germany. But, again, appreciative for the opportunity. I think that, even the year before, I felt like, I would like to see, if I had a solid year in Glasgow, if that could turn into another opportunity and another opportunity and another opportunity. And that was kind of my mindset.
Well, you played right up until 2017. You spent a lot of that time in Germany. I think there was a spell in Denmark as well. When you look back on your career, Cookie, do you have any regrets, maybe specifically about your time in the UK that maybe you didn't get to achieve?
Obviously it's... Everybody wants to win a championship, and that's the one thing. I mean, if you have that opportunity, I felt like we had a team that, that in Nottingham that was built that way, and we just, to try to win, and ultimately we didn't have, the right group. I think that we had, a very talented team, but, a little bit different the way that we built the team in Glasgow, but, we were still a hungry team, and we felt like, we could surprise some teams in the playoffs, and so that would have been nice. Obviously, probably looking at it was maybe a long shot, but we had a great group of guys that that really pushed the envelope to see what we could do, and so it would have been nice to lift a trophy, I guess. But I guess I don't regret so much that we didn't there. We wrung out every last drop of what we could get out of that team, I think, and that's something that we should be proud of, all of us. And if I look back, I have a ton of really, I was spoiled really that year in Glasgow. The things that I was fortunate to be the first captain. I got lucky and was fortunate to score the first ever goal in the team's history, and then to be to score one against Newcastle to give us a victory. Like, I look back, there's some pretty big things that happened for me. So I got to thank the club and thank Bruce for those opportunities, because when I look at my career on the whole, I mean, those are things that that definitely stick out. So not really any regrets, I guess you could say, Craig. And again, just a really fond time for me.
And Matt, your biggest memories of playing alongside this man, what did you enjoy most about lining up alongside him?
Just, I think he's one of those guys that we had confidence in that would give us a chance to win every night. You knew he's going to, like, if he didn't score, he'd be very close to scoring, or he'd always set other people up. But obviously, being that shooter first mentality, there wasn't many games you don't think he didn't score. And so he always gave you a good chance of winning. And obviously, knowing that you've got firepower going forward, you know that if I did my job at 18, 19 and not conceding with my line and trying to chip in, then you know that Cookie's line, especially when Soupy and Kent and Brucey were having such good years, you knew there was always going to be a chance you could win that game.
Perfect. Well, I think we'll end it there. Cookie, thank you so much for joining us on Clan Chat Online. Always good to hear from guys like yourself. First captain as well, as you say, quite an honour that was. But yep, the game we talked about, Brayhead Clan against Newcastle Vipers, that is our Clan Classics game this Saturday from Friday the 1st of October 2010. Make sure you catch that on Saturday night, 7 o'clock on the YouTube channel. You can buy your 50-50 tickets and shirt off the back as well. Cookie, thank you again for your time. Good to have you on board. All the best for the future and what you get up to.
Great to see you guys. Matt, Craig, have a great day. Thanks a lot. Take care.
And Matt, we'll catch you again next week.
Yeah.
And we'll talk to you next week on Clan Chat Online. Talk to you soon. Bye for now.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.